You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
The Guide to Goals podcast gives you the tools, direction, and resources you need to pursue your passion project. I'm Deborah Eckerling, Project Catalyst, and this is the Guide to Goals podcast. Our guest today is Philippe Coudeau, and we're going to talk about taking care of your body. Philippe is a health and movement specialist, helping people kick their kinks and get a powerful posture. Welcome, Philippe. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, welcome, Deborah. Thank you for having me.
So do you want to, before we jump in, tell us a little bit more about your background and how you went down this path for yourself?
Yes. I'm a French guy who moved to the U.S. about 14 years ago, and I ended up studying NLP in France and massage in the U.S. And in the first place, I did that for me because I wanted to be more precise when I was talking to people for the NLP. And also I had some pain, so I wanted to learn how to get out of pain. So that's how it started, and eventually ended up helping other people with their kinks, but also to change the way they think about their kinks and their pain.
Okay, and NLP is what?
Neuro-linguistic programming. So it's a tool, for example, that Anthony Robbins studied and practiced, and he changed it into something else after.
So you just studied it because the whole idea of it intrigued you, basically.
Pretty much. I had a hard time myself in the first place. That was what gave me the motivation, but the reason I pursued it in the NLP was because I became better at just expressing problem I have to doctors. So I was coming to doctors like I have that kind of pain, and I felt like they didn't quite get what I wanted to say, and eventually I was able to express that a lot better.
You kind of fell into a career because you had your own curiosities.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly.
And so now you do massage, but you also teach people how to move better, right?
Exactly. So when I started my massage career as a student, I had a lot of massage. I felt better, and I was really happy to be able to give back to people. But one thing really specific happened is I ended up working on people that were not getting necessarily better. So I decided to learn more about the craft and became more specialized into structural and orthopedic work to help people with severe chronic pain, for example. And one day also I realized that by talking to my clients, usually when you massage therapist, you don't talk. It's kind of like mute. You just like let them space out, right? But by talking to someone, I realized the person had a lot on her mind. And by just venting out, she felt better the next week. So I thought I was onto something, and that's the other reason why I transformed my practice over the past 2009 when I started to become more and more geared toward people with chronic pain and people who also had some mindset blockage.
Because if they're blocked, their body is not going to feel good.
Exactly.
The other reason I wanted to have you on this podcast is people who have passion projects who are either working full-time and then pursuing something on the side, or they're entrepreneurs and they have like a gazillion projects going on simultaneously. Right. I think the last thing they take care of is their body, even though it's the first thing they should take care of. Is that correct?
It is. I still don't get why completely, but yes, it's totally correct. People sometimes decide to call me and say like, they don't do that anymore, but in the first place, like a few years back, I can't really, I'm going to cut a bit on my expense. I'm going to cut on that first. And at first, you know, as a massage therapist, you're like, well, okay, yeah, maybe I'm not really important. And eventually I realized that it's actually because people still have to learn about self-compassion and self-love. They do a lot about helping others, the kids, especially when they're parents. At the end of the list, they are at the bottom right here. Oh, maybe I should do something for myself if I have time during the day. And it really should work the other way around. People should take care of themselves first, then they can give more to people around them. That's what I believe.
I completely agree. So what are some techniques people who aren't taking care of themselves but can do to get into the habit of taking
yes.
care of their bodies?
There's a lot. I'm going to share with you a couple that I think are really powerful. First of all, you should build a habit by the minute rather than building it by a couple hours. Like some people decide to go to the gym, and to go to the gym sometimes it's half an hour of driving. Then you're at the gym, so it's 1 hour of being there. And then sometimes you can take a shower, so it's another 10, 20 minutes. And after you take another half hour to drive back home. And that's an hour to 2 hours to 2 hours and a half. And how many people here will say, well, I have that every single day, I can do it. Very few people do that. And they have a tendency to get completely overwhelmed by that. So the first thing I will tell them is move around. Even if you're here in the podcast, sit up straighter, take a breath with your chest, push on your heels. That can be a deep breath of comfort, and we can do it together. And just that, repeat it whenever you feel like it feels good or it's needed during the day. The second thing I will tell people is don't mistaken exercise for movement. We at first need to move before exercising. Going to the gym is great when you already are fit and you know what to do, you know the exercise, and you're not in pain. If you're in pain, moving can be the first step. So instead of deciding to do that 1 hour of gym, for example, you can decide, let me just walk around the block at night, maybe once a day. It's like 10, 20 minutes. And there's two tips, like making small change, a second here and there, and making small walks around the block can make a big difference at the end of the week.
I completely agree with you, especially on the time thing, which is why my podcasts are 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I believe everybody has 20 minutes in the day that they can give to themselves.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is you don't even need the 20 minutes.
No, you can actually still get the concept of 20 minutes, but spread it out. Let's say a minute here, 2 minutes there. And at the end of the day, we'll make maybe even more than 20 minutes. But that idea to not taking too much of a block to do something can make a big difference between doing nothing and doing something about it.
Okay, so first we have movement. So throughout mm-hmm. the day, you want to wiggle around and put your feet. And is my posture okay?
It looks fantastic.
Awesome. Of course I had to ask. And
yes.
And so then the what are other things in the chair that people can mm-hmm. do?
Yes. For example, on my Instagram, I've put some short videos of that. One thing that you won't be able to see when we do it here, or it might be somewhat visual, is to thrust your pelvis back and forth. So if I'm thrusting here, I'm rounding. Here, I'm tucking my tail out. I'm rounding, tucking my tail out. So basically, I'm moving my butt out and butt under. And just rolling like that will lubricate the low back. That's a very easy thing. I tell also people, get some toys for your feet. Get a ball, get a towel, get something. Take off your shoes, take off your socks, and grab the towel with your feet to get your feet to move a bit more. Get a ball to squeeze or to play around with a ball. This way you have some activity in the legs under the desk as you work. And it's actually a lot more energy that you have to your brain because things are moving. And the body and the brain specifically is built for movement.
I'm going to totally do that. I love that because I don't wear shoes when I work anyway. So I
there
can definitely do that. And so these are just throughout the day. So how long should someone take a break from the computer? Because mm-hmm. I hear different numbers all the time.
So I will go around with a different concept. Like I know some people say you should do half an hour and stop or 3 hours and stop. There's also the problem of when you stop, are you going to be as attentive when you come back? Are you going to be having as much intention in your work? Time, I think, is not really what you look at right here. You should listen. Listen more to your body. I have a tendency to say my clients, whenever you're in pain, your body is screaming at you. The pain is more like someone yelling, and you need to listen to the whispers before that. So, for example, you say, oh, I feel a bit tired. Maybe I should breathe a bit deeper. And then it doesn't have to be a break. You can keep working and take a deep breath or a big yawn. Yawn helps relax the diaphragm. And sometimes we have that conception, oh, if I'm yawning, I'm actually not making a big difference. But it relaxes the diaphragm, so it helps you with better oxygenation. And a yawn lasts a few seconds and you can still be working. Another thing is, whenever you start to feel like you're rounded and your computer is way higher and your head is starting to drop like that, that's probably a good time that you need to get out of here. Take a break, maybe go for a walk, take a bath, or just take a jump rope and jump for a little bit. And after, you can go back. More than time, it's how we listen to our body, to those whispers. The body is always, always telling you something. Hey, breathe a bit better. Hey, your back is hurting or is about to. You see that, you feel that, right? So whenever you work, you can implement some of those micro changes. And then don't be too rigid in the time crunch. Like, oh, I have 2 hours right now, I need to work. Maybe out of those 2 hours, you're going to work an hour and work out another hour on the floor next to your computer, or 10 minutes and come back. The less rigid, the more open-minded you are, the more you can listen to the whispers.
I do. I try and pay attention. And actually, since I met you, I do catch myself with the little things like, okay, the feet need to be flat. No. You do a thing with the cell phone that the cell phone needs to be up at eye level too.
Higher, yes.
Because that promotes a strain as well. But mm-hmm. what if, and we should talk about that in a second, but I'm trying to get to my question. What about people who aren't used to listening to their body at all? Because mm-hmm. I'm sure you encounter them. What can they do to change the mind frame, or they just have to decide? What?
So for them, then, let's go for some sound or some alarm or some little thing that are peaceful. And it's not like your fire alarm that will yell at you and startle you. But there's an app I love to use. It's called Insight Timer. And you can put it in the background and choose every time you want it to make a sound. You can make every 5 minutes, every hour, every 2 hours. It makes a Tibetan bowl sound like boom. And you know, oh, I need to do something right now. And then you let the people, especially if they never listen to themselves, I would put every 10 minutes or every 15 minutes a sound so that they can stop whatever they're doing just for 5 breaths. And they take 5 breaths and they listen. And then they can resume the work. By doing that, what you're doing is not so much just the breathing, but it's starting to create a communication between your body and your mind. And that's what's more important here. So just shorter breaks, but not completely stopping the work. 5 breaths is like 10 seconds.
Everybody has 10 seconds every 10 minutes.
I hope so. I hope so.
And if they don't, they need to reevaluate, right?
Yes.
So you're listening to your body. You've got the chimes in case you like to ignore your body. And then you said to take breaks to work out on the floor next to it. What's something simple people can do? And how much workout time should they be spending?
Okay, so those two questions. The first one, I will say, what could they be doing on the floor? Depending on where people hurt. Most of the time, it's the lower back or the neck and shoulder for people spending a lot of time at the desk. Eventually, it can become the wrist or the ankle or the knees. But the first problem will be in the lower back and neck and shoulder. So when you lay down on the floor, you can fold your legs with the feet down, the knees toward legs bended, knees toward the sky, and a pillow under the knees and a pillow under your chest and neck to just almost fall asleep there. That position can help decompress a lot of pressure from the lower back and help decompress the pressure in the neck. Another thing they can do is starting with that position and then letting the leg lean to the side. So then they have the leg to the side and they have that full body gentle twist. Some of you who have made yoga or have seen yoga might have seen some of this position. And then in that pose, you can lay there for like a minute or something like that. Not too long, not too short. And then move to the center, wiggle your tail, and go back to the other side. This routine can last anywhere between 2-3 minutes to 10-15 minutes, depending on the time you have. Now, the other question you had, if I recall, was about workout and what is a workout and how should it look like?
Right.
Depending on the level of discomfort and athleticism, a workout should be considered more of following a toddler for 5 minutes. If you see a toddler and you can reproduce what they're doing, you have a pretty good workout routine because they are completely inconsistent. They go from right to left and they completely listen to their body. It will be extremely difficult at first to do this kind of routine, but then as an adult, we are very good at creating routine and pattern. We see like, oh, that movement was really great. So maybe you can be walking like a duck. You know, when we're a kid, we sit down in the squat and we try to walk like that with our posture a bit bent. Or you can walk like a gorilla, sticking your butt out, chest wide open, and walking around like that to increase the position of the muscle in the upper back. Think about more of animals and children as great trainer because they haven't been sitting for hours upon years on chair. That's what a workout is for me.
I love that. So the gym isn't even necessary. You just find a kid and follow them around or watch YouTube videos of kids and animals and mimic them.
Ideally, you have a toddler at home where you can babysit a toddler or go to the park and share that time with a friend. What I would like people to do is to, because the gym, I think, have benefit. They can help. And for people who already go to the gym, including some awareness on what should be a good posture will make them stronger without necessarily increasing the weight load and decreasing for sure, actually, the pain and discomfort. So the gym will have its place. But nature is, in the first place, our gym. Climbing on a tree, rolling in the grass, doing all those silly things that for some reason we decided we're too big and we're too big now to do, were the best moment of our life and the greatest moment for our body. So I think movement like MoveNat, moving in nature, is a great idea of how to exercise. There's some people who might have heard about parkour. It's more advanced, but it's like using basically the concept is to use your city as a gym. So then you can do some gentle movement around the pool or things like that. That's more what I like.
And this correct posture is, let's walk us through it, because I know you talked
Oh.
about the sitting posture, but.
Yes. So first of all, the way I define posture is not just physical. It's mental as well. It's the attitude. So your posture in life, not just the posture at the desk. When you have a posture of, I want to be healthy, then you sit at your desk differently. If you think like that already, it changes the position. I know when we first met, I had that talk, and when I was introduced, 150 people sat differently. It's always a posture guy. Oh, wait, I know about that. I need to sit up straighter. And this is just because we know some of those concepts. Other than that, posture is. If I define it by what it's not, I'd rather leave it like that. Posture is not being static. Posture is not a picture of someone up straight. Posture is a movement of someone going in directions. This is more what posture is about. So a proper posture is movement. When we're talking to people, I'd rather exactly what you're doing right now. You wiggle a little bit. You're gonna talk to people. You're gonna switch side on your feet. You're gonna move your chest. You're gonna stretch around. At first, people will know, well, that person might be crazy. But what really happens is when they go to the bathroom, they try the same thing and they say, like, oh, it feels great, actually. I need to do it too. So I think what posture is more being natural and genuine to our movement and our body and not being static.
That's great. Absolutely great. And I want to get back to it. What is the thing with your cell phone trick? The way people need to, because that was such an aha, because you say that the weight you put
Yes.
on your body when you look down at your cell phone is tremendous. So I didn't mean to say what I wanted. Go.
So when you have a phone and or electronic and you look down, for every inch forward, it's an extra 10 pound. For every 10 degrees down, it's an extra 10 pound. So Who here have seen someone looking down like that, with the head forward, all the way at 70 degrees angle?
And all the time.
Exactly. That's about 90 pounds on your back muscle and your shoulders. And people say, my shoulder hurts. Say, yeah, you just added 90 pounds to it. So if you, instead of that, put your phone at eyes height. So your shoulder might be tired at first, which will be a good indication you should switch side and move around. But eventually what you realize is when you go back and look down, the pain on your neck and shoulder will be so obvious that you'll stop doing that more and more. And you'll be more often walking or standing up with the phone up straight. Now, of course, if you're walking, you make sure you're careful if you're next to a street or if there's any dangerous things. And if you're not walking, you make sure that you can still spy your environment. Another thing I didn't mention, another important thing for people with computer habits, let's call it like that, have a tendency to look far away. Because you have six muscles holding the eyes. And when they look straight, close to a computer, and when they look far away to the window or something that's very far away, they contract differently. So that can help you relax the muscle of the eye, which will eventually possibly improve your eyesight.
So look at the computer and then look out the window when you're doing your little wiggle breaks.
Exactly.
Now, usually the part of the interview where I ask about work-life balance, but it's pretty much all we've talked about. So what do you personally do for balance in your life?
So I have the great benefit to have two love. One is to work with my clients in my clinic and to do body work. And every time I do that, there's a soothing music, the light is dim, and we talk nice, and we're all here to have a good time. And have less stress. So this is my meditation time every time I work at my clinic. When I come home or on the road, when I make some videos, I have a tendency to include my work within my life rather than the other way around. I would not say, okay, I got 6 hours of work. How can I survive it? I would say, I want to go surf. How can I make something for work? I will take the time in the car to record myself so that someone or myself can write it down for a blog letter. I will take the time to, if I have some computer work, to go to the coffee shop and maybe work for till I have no more coffee. And I don't like to drink too much of it. So one big cup, it might be half an hour to an hour and a half. And I make it so that it's shorter working time, but more mindful. I've noticed that for myself, but when I have less time to work, I'm a lot more careful about what I'm going to do. If I had like plenty of time, I'm standing up, I'm checking out my Facebook, and then I look at my Pinterest, and then I look at my Instagram, and I've done nothing, but I've taken a lot of time doing it. So this is more my philosophy when it comes to work. Now, sometimes, though, I do have some burst of work. When I was launching my course, I had to do a lot of videos. I had to do a lot of connection. And in the same month, I was doing three social media events, going to the social media marketing world, going to college to talk, and to write my course. So then I was spending a lot of time during the day working. But what I decided to do is to not work at the same place, same position. So right now I'm at my table, I can go on the couch and get into another position. And after I can get on my bed, maybe face up when I tap on my keyboard, which relaxes my lower back. And changing position rather than stopping the work is what have helped me a lot.
That is a great goal that we're going to leave our listeners and audience with. Usually I say this is a professional goal, this is a personal goal. I think we're just going to give a bunch of goals because they really are kind of all merged together. But that's exactly what you're saying. Especially if you love your work and you love your life, find ways to have better balance. And one of the ways to do that is to be mindful of the time you spend at work and see what different things you could do to incorporate them. So that could be the first goal. Second one is to move different positions. So don't just work at the same place. If it's in your home, find different locations to work or find different environments. Yes. Go to the coffee shop every now and then just to get your body in continual different kinds of motions.
Exactly. Well, you said it super awesome. I love that. It's a great recap.
Okay, I'm going to give two other goals. First, you gotta do the phone thing to eye level and try it and incorporate that into your life, to look at your phone at eye level and switch arms, because that will be better for you. And then the last thing is to be, when you're working, be mindful. And if you need the reminder, I'll put the link to the app you mentioned in the notes as well. And also listen to your body. And if you're not going to listen to your body, listen to the ding tone and let that remind you that you need to be moving around.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, this has been so helpful. Thank you so much, Philippe, for joining us on the Guide the Guide podcast. You can go to guidedgoals.com to get the show notes and the links and learn more about Philippe. And perhaps you'll send me some videos to incorporate into the notes as well. Wonderful.
I'll definitely make work for the phone and some of the movement for a break in between.
Okay, sounds terrific. Well, thank you everybody for listening. This is Deborah Eckerling, and this has been the Guided Goals podcast, which is brought to you by Write On Online, website and community for writers. So go to guidedgoals.com or Write On Online to learn more about community and how you can move forward on your passion projects. And check out these wonderful tips from Philippe, because you will notice, and I would love people to comment on this, after you start introducing these things into your life, it's going to be a lot, you're going to feel a lot better, and you won't even know why. And then you're like, oh yeah, I listened to all those tips and I actually did them.
Exactly.
Okay, any final words of wisdom, Philippe?
I would say that I love that acronym. I give my clients that acronym, Mark Your Body. M stands for movement, O for open, and C, comfort. So mark your body and have fun, be healthy.
Okay, you've heard it here. Go mock your body, go on out there, and go for it.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.